Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is episode 33 of Art Talk, and today I have my artist friend Brooke Harker with me. Brooke Harker is an American artist whose city and coastal paintings are in collections and shown all around the world. I mean, so many, I can't even put it in this podcast because then the whole podcast is about that. She is ambidextrous, sketching, drawing left, putting paint on the canvas with right. She is one of the hosts of Saturday Night Live Art Shows, an initiative she took in 2020 lockdown to create a community of artists around the world to show their art from their homes. Welcome, Brooke. I'm really honored to have you as my guest.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. So before we dive into questions, I have not one but three quotes from one man. Maybe you know them, maybe not. Leadership is accepted rather than sought. From this level, great music, art, and architecture emerge, as does the capacity to uplift others by one's mere presence. Great works of art, music, and architecture that calibrate between 600 and 700 can transport us temporarily to a higher levels of consciousness and are universally recognized and inspirational and timeless. And the last one, art and love are man's greatest gift to himself. And there can be no art without love. Art is always making of the soul, the craft of human beings, touch, which can be corporeal of the mind and spirit. So it has been since Neanderthal times. And so it will always be. Thus, we find that computer-generated art and even great photographs never calibrate as highly as original paintings. Any idea who wrote this?
Nope.
Dr. David Hawkins. This comes from his book, Power versus Force. And he tested everything and he created the emotional vibration. So when you vibrate very low, guilt, shame, grief, and art is very high on the ladder. So, yeah, we have a purpose in life as artists, I always say. But anyways, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, apart from that all your work is all around the world, which is amazing, by the way.
Thank you so much. Is there anything you specifically want to know, or just randomly tell you things about myself?
Well, is art always, has that always been in your life from childhood?
So I spent my life, my mom was an artist, my dad's a photographer. So I was always, I grew up in a theater surrounded by art people. It's been my guiding light since I grew up in Iowa in the middle of the United States. And been able to travel. I live in Los Angeles now, and I make paintings, cityscapes, and coastal scenes.
So. Yeah, you have some beautiful work behind you too.
Yeah, this is a big painting of 7-foot painting of Los Angeles.
It's huge, right? You paint really large paintings.
Yeah, different. You know, some of them are really big. I guess for me, small is a 24-inch. It's a 24-inch painting. So there's, you see, I don't think there's like a woman walking in that painting. That's a theme in a lot of my paintings, a woman walking, which I could relate somehow to your work with the focusing on portraits, but in a different way.
In a different way, yeah. Yeah. So what is it that attracts you to paint architecture, cityscapes and coastalscapes? And has that always been your passion?
Well, I started traveling for sure. I started traveling internationally when I was 17. I was always taking photographs. So from the time I was 9, my dad got me a camera, and I was always the person before that. This maybe sound like when I was young, but before the cell phones, I always had a camera. Every party I went to, I was the person who was documenting everything. And I actually had a passion for portraits. That's what I started with, a love of abstract and also portraits. So I would get anybody who would sit still for me, especially in long car rides. I would go in public and I would get strangers to pose for me. And I would sit in various countries that I would travel to, and people would line up. Like I remember being in Beijing, China at the Summer Palace, and I just had a line of people. And I would just draw them and give them away. And because for me, that's what an opportunity to get to sit with someone, and you know this, painting a person, to get to sit with them and really see them. And so, and I did that in Japan and Poland and all over the place. And then, but I also, that's probably, I think when I was in Japan, I started sketching live, like a city. I was actually on a date that wasn't a very good date, and I took my art supplies with me, which kind of shows something how awkward I felt. And I just climbed on this castle wall and I started drawing, and that's how I coped with not feeling comfortable. It's like I didn't really feel like I fit in. And especially it also drawing people was a way for me to connect and feel like I had a purpose and I had something to do. It gave me a way to, it kind of just gave me a place to fit in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the cityscapes over the years, because I was painting abstract for years, I had about 9 different series going. I was obsessed with bicycles, painted those abstract, and umbrellas. And I was really into, are you familiar with Masaru Emoto, the Japanese scientist who studied the water molecule?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, wow, if the water molecules are affected by thoughts and words and music, how is the paint affected by my thoughts and words and actions? So I really made a huge commitment. Probably, I think it was around 2009, I made a really big commitment to go from using art as a way to express whatever was in me, because when I was younger, it would express all the dark, whatever it was, I would throw it out on the canvas. I switched to, let me work through that through yoga, through meditation, through therapy, through exercise, whatever, so that when I go to the canvas, what I'm choosing to put out there is of a higher vibration. Now, that's not necessarily always the case. We are always going to be going through things in tandem with whatever we're putting out there. But so through all the studies I did in color and mixing and all the different abstract styles, which everybody told me, oh, you need to have one style. And I thought, no, I don't. I'll do what I want. And I get it from a marketing standpoint. It helps when a person has one recognizable style. And then what happened was all the years of going live and sketching, because I was doing that at the same time, it all got married. And so one day my ink sketches, and I made them big and took all I'd learned from mixing color and all that, and they came together. And it was a style that was natural, not because anybody told me.
Mm-hmm.
On my own timeline. So
that's fascinating. Yeah. How you work through all the styles and all the things you need to do. And at one point it just bang, that's it. And everything you did on that journey comes together. Jo Marie had the same, she told me. At one point, it was snap, and everything, she said, everything I've done, all the studies I've done came together. And I've the same. It's a weird thing. It just, bang, suddenly it's there. But it's very interesting what you say about that water molecule. When you speak to your water, this is for the listeners who do not know, but there is a test in, you can find it on YouTube. And when you have 2 glasses of water, when you talk to one very nasty, the geometry of the water molecules is chaos. When you talk to it in a very gentle way, kind, you have brilliant, beautiful molecules. And it's fascinating how that works through maybe, well, I think it works through everything. And that's why art vibrates so hard and so high. But on another level, you clearly are you are a people's person. I always have that feeling you are a people's person. Painting and sketching outside, talking with people, and even collaborating. And I was wondering, are you asking people on the street if they want to collaborate? Do you just go to architects and ask them to collaborate with you?
Well, that in an ideal world, that would be magical. What's tricky is my painting is ancient. So one of my paintings, for example, of Matera, Italy, is 90,000-year-old structure. So there's no way I could ever collaborate with those architects.
No.
I will see it as a collaboration throughout time that is, it's a silent collaboration. We're all connected. And so if I go to a city, think about how many different buildings are put into that one location. And I'm tracking cars going by and people on bicycles and people walking. And even if there's times when I see someone, I'm like, oh, I want them to be in my painting. And I know it doesn't mean I get the right shot of them. They're busy. You know, I'm generally not chasing people down. I also might stand on a street corner for an hour or 2 hours and just snap, 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 snap. And I don't even always see the people that are going to be in the painting until I look back at the photo and whoa, there's a magical person there. So every once in a while, like for example, this summer when I was in Italy, I saw these two women and they were in pink dresses and they were walking through the city and I was like, I followed them. And then I watched them. It turned out one was a photographer taking photographs of the other one. I took shots of them doing their work. And then I actually did stop them and ask if I could paint them. I didn't really get I was hoping I could work with some of the photos they took. I didn't really get the best shots of them. They told me to contact, they said they would, you know, contact them if I ended up painting them. I mean, that's an example of occasionally, but for the most part, a lot of times people don't know because I don't know. There are people that hire me when they get a commission. I've had a father and son, for example, who they had worked together in the same building together for 30 years. And so they wanted a painting of them walking to lunch in both directions. So I work with them or someone else, one of their daughters at the Eiffel Tower. So there's times when another mother who had her son going away to college and she wanted him to be in the painting. So there's those kind of stories where people knowingly collaborate, but I think the rest of it's just, it's just a kind of unknowing collaboration because it would be impossible to track everybody down.
Yeah. Yeah. And unless they are somewhere because your paintings are all over the place, the whole world, and they see like, shoot, that's me. Something like that. That would be fun.
The people that ended up in the paintings, sometimes they look exactly like the person in the photo, but I don't have the same, if I know the person or I'm putting someone in, I have a very strong commitment to getting their energy and their soul to shine through them. For example, you might've seen the painting I did where I put in 30, that's an example of collaborating. I put in 30 people from around the world. All of those people look like the real people because I knew them and I knew they were going to be seeing it. So I wanted to honor that. But a lot of times the person, I might paint them and they don't always look exactly like the person in the.
Mm-hmm. They're just figurants in your work at that point.
It would be cool though if they, if somebody recognized, I was walking there. I had an outfit like that. Would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I have people say, "Oh, I live in that building. Oh, that's my where I went on vacation." That happens. So.
Yeah, exactly. Because it seems so. I know about that painting because at Saturday Night Live art shows you talked about it. And that's I like that way of collaboration where people know it and. It's very creative and they will be curious. They want to see your work. They want to see where they ended up and how they ended up. So do you think that apart from the energy that comes straight from your source, from the source into your arm, into your hands, onto the canvas, that the energy of the people you collaborated with, conscious or subconscious, so you take the photo and you have this inner feeling, I need those people in it, either up front or either when you look back at your photos. Do you think the energy of those people comes back into the painting too, makes it even more?
More high in
vibration.
I guess I hadn't really thought about it. However, I will say that there was something very, very magical about that painting with all those people. There was something that came through in that painting that was different than every other painting. Well, every painting's different though, probably experience. I do notice that people's energy comes through if it's just, and sometimes that can be difficult because there's times when I've been working on a painting for someone and they're going through a lot of illness or they're going through something. And there's a lot of things I didn't realize existed until I started painting in the way they were connected. But I think that everything is connected, and you know, the collaboration of a city, I mean, that's what